It's a story that some sisters were praying in church, and a mother and her child came in. And when the child saw the sisters, he asked his mother, "Are they the Blessed Virgin Mary? Are they the Blessed Virgin Mary?" Well, they say religious life is an approximation of Mary's self-dedication to God. And it's kind of contained in this gospel that the highest form of human relationship, the highest form of human friendship is marriage. But in heaven, there is no marriage because we'll be totally occupied with God, like the angels. Once death is destroyed, there'll be a greater love than any love that we can experience below, because it'll be this purest of love. And religious life is kind of a witness to that greater love, that the love of heaven. And we say religious life, celibacy, virginity is an emptiness for God. It's not a handicap, but it's a radical dispossession of this world. Not a handicap, but a catalyst for moving forward spiritually. Nowhere is this radical dispossession more clear than in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Like it says, Mary loved God on earth the way the angels and saints love God in heaven. Okay, so Mary loved God on earth the way the angels and saints love God in heaven. And because she loved God on earth the way the angels and saints love God in heaven, it's like heaven came down to earth. Okay? Not only God became man, but the truth, beauty, and goodness of heaven come down to earth. Father Peyton, in one of his meditations on the rosary, on the mystery of the Annunciation, says that Mary loved God unto virginity. That's how she became the mother of God, because that virginity is fruitful spiritually. That she was giving up anything never even occurred to her. And saying that this is the intimacy that God holds out for us in this life, but above all in heaven. And again, in the person of Mary, we can see the fruitfulness of the gift. They say in the 11th, 12th centuries, the Middle Ages, monasteries were not only religious centers, but they were cultural and intellectual centers as well. Like from there grew out universities, architecture, cathedrals, art flourished during those times. And it was a great time of convergence of truth, beauty, and goodness. Okay. Truth meaning like education flourished, virtues, knowledge, beauty, architecture, the cathedrals, Chartres, many of the magnificent cathedrals were built during those times. Goodness, conversions took place, and the lives of the saints grew out of those of that religious life. There's a kind of and that was all those cathedrals were named after the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, like we say Mary is the catalyst for the conversion of the world. There's a kind of a principle in the church that says, as goes the church, so goes the world. Like when the church is strong and flourishing, the world is good, because the church is the yeast, the leaven in the world. But when the church goes flat, the world suffers. Okay? Because as goes the church, so goes the world. And there's a corollary to that principle that says, as goes devotion to Mary, so goes the church. So when devotion to Mary is true and strong, the church flourishes. But when it's superficial, again, the world goes flat. The world goes bad. Devotion to Mary brings about the flourishing of the church, a flourishing of truth, beauty and goodness. And it's kind of, we look forward in the church to a new age of Mary. Like the devotions like the Rosary, the Scapular, Miraculous Medals are a means to bring about heaven down to earth, a new flourishing of truth, beauty, and goodness in the world at Mary's intercession. Again, devotion to Mary is the catalyst for our transformation in Christ. Ultimately, it's the catalyst for the conversion of the world, for the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart, the era of peace, which is to come into the world. During those Middle Ages lived St. Bernard. St. Bernard is accredited with writing the Memorari. And he also wrote of the Blessed Virgin Mary, "In dangers and anxieties, in doubt and need, think of Mary, call on her. Let her never leave your lips. Let her never depart from your heart. And in order to obtain an answer to your prayers, do not cease to imitate her life. Following her, you shall not stray. Invoking her, you shall not despair. Thinking of her, you will not wander. Upheld by her, you shall not fall. Shielded by her, you have nothing more to fear. Guided by her, you grow not weary. Favored by her, you reach your goal." And there's that kind of axiom in the church that says, to Jesus, through Mary, for the glory of God, for the greater glory of God. Okay? Mary is the most direct path to Christ, and that always leads to human flourishing. Like St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. To Jesus through Mary for the greater glory of God. Okay, so turning to Mary will enable the world to flourish in truth, knowledge, beauty, and in goodness, in holiness of life.